For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Scott Morgan. Greenville is South Carolina's largest county by population and one of its most diverse, a fact reflected in the student body at Greenville Technical College.
You will have students that range from, 18 coming right out of high school to students in our 60s. We have single mothers, we have single fathers, we have students that are married. So the student population is extremely diverse.
And yet, Greenville Tech wrestles with something that plagues colleges everywhere: retention of minority students, particularly young Black men. Dr. Alicia Watt, the college's director of educational opportunity programs.
There was a team of us that was put together by the president, and we were looking at the persistence and retention rates of the students at the college. We were trying to first see who's not coming back. So when we looked at the data, the African American males were at the bottom of the persistence category and the retention category.
The difference is that persistence measures how many students complete the fall semester and then enroll again in the spring. Retention measures the completion of both semesters and then the subsequent re-enrollment again in the following fall. And as you just heard, African American male students were not re-upping at near the rates other types of students were at Greenville Tech. So after much research, the school this semester formally launched the African American Male Scholars Initiative. It's a program aimed at making sure that male Black students finish the degree paths they start. The heart of the program comes from the understanding that for all the diversity in its student population, Greenville Tech, like most colleges, does not have an especially large population of African American men. They make up about 10% of the student body, in fact. And that can be isolating in ways that not everyone understands.
It's really easy for them to be the only African-American male in their classes. That's a little difficult. I've experienced that myself, at the University of Alabama. It was really easy to be the only African-American person in my class. And I can remember just feeling on many occasions like, I should have picked a different school. Like, am I in the right place?
Watt says the effect of isolation on Black students is heightened by something called stereotype threat.
A particular group will have a strong fear of verifying what they feel people think about their group. If a young African American male feels that you think he's a thug, then he will sit in class and be confused or have questions just like every other student in the class, but will not raise his hand for fear that he's going to verify what he thinks you think about his group.
Watt doesn't want any students feeling that they made the wrong choice in coming here just because they don't see anybody else who looks like them. Nor does she want any student to feel they need to keep their head down in class for fear of alarming somebody, whether that fear is real or self-created. She says the school is combating this sense of isolation by exposing Black students to each other and to African-American professionals from the community at large. There's a lot of mentoring and outreach aimed at making sure students of color know that they're not alone and that there really are future colleagues out there who look like them and who have shared their experiences.
Being a young African-American male and also a college student, full-time working college student, it's difficult to find other people like you who actually know what you're experiencing with the stresses of life.
Devaris Hall is a freshman architecture major at Greenville Tech. He hadn't run into a lot of other Black architects nor architecture students until the college stepped in to introduce him to some people.
When you find other people who are nearby or around who actually are in that same situation, it's so encouraging because you two can benefit from each other. And I think we are learning not from just people who want to help us, but from people who've also been transparent enough to say, I've been there before.
Javon Robinson is also a freshman studying cybersecurity at the school. He, too, says he's grateful for getting to meet African-American professionals who offer boundless support and encouragement.
It's nothing like encouragement, you know what I'm saying? Like he said, sometimes, you being a college student, trying to do all this stuff at one time that you never did, and you walking by yourself, it's nothing like somebody saying, pick your head up, we're going to make it through, you know what I'm saying? As a brother, you know what I'm saying? It's nothing like that.
The idea of being held to a higher standard is not something these young men have heard much until recently. Neither is the idea of accountability among peers, nor the concept of belief in self, nor the presence of strong Black leaders in the business community who are willing to share their stories.
Even the leaders that we've had come in, the motivational speakers, they come in and they introduce themselves. They give us a story of their background. And then from there, they begin to immediately encourage. And it's, I mean, it also, it gives me the goosebumps sometimes when I'm in that room.
Robinson says he's already looking forward to the day when he can encourage the next group of black students.
You don't know what your words can do for one person in a day. You know what I'm saying? That probably can make them, that can be the best words you give somebody for the rest of their life. And you probably won't remember it, but they probably will.
Watt's ambition for retention rates of African American men at Greenville Tech could charitably be described as Shakespearean. Retention rates for two-year colleges everywhere, she says, are around 50%. For black students, even less.
We are shooting to retain at least 80% of the students from one academic year to the next. So that's a really big objective. I mean, we really shot really high.
Watt knows a lot of people wouldn't consider a goal that high to be reasonable. But she also knows that aiming for reasonable has never moved mountains nor encouraged people to try things they used to think were a pipe dream. So, fooey unreasonable. She expects those mountains moved. For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Scott Morgan.